Praise the Lord. Now, I hope you remember that song. All right. Well, welcome to all of you people this morning. Must be something special on your heart. God sent you into the house of God. Amen. I played that song because I'm going to talk about your setback this morning. Your setback is building you up for your comeback. All right. Father, we just thank you and we just praise you and we give you all honor and all glory. And Father God, all those who came out this morning with need, I want you to meet that need before they leave this sanctuary. And Father God, you know exactly what you're doing in each and every one of your children. And Father, I just thank you that you are going to finish the works that you started in each one of us. And Father, open up their spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, let the word go deep into their spirit, man. We cover it with the blood of Jesus so the enemy cannot steal the seed before it takes root. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God just had me get this together because so many in the body of Christ are falling away right now. They've become discouraged and they're blaming God for all manner of things that is their own fault. And one day you're up and the next day you're down, and we can't do that. You know, you're supposed to be strong in the Lord and power of his might 24/7. I didn't say you won't have your moments, but, you know, keep them to yourself in your closet. And then you need to go forth and let the world see Christ in you. Yes, we don't need a bunch of church people in sin out running rampant and giving God a bad name. What they need to see when they look at you 24/7 is Christ in you. So I've entitled this Your Setback. Mark 1:12 says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Talking about Jesus. That was his setback. He just was, you know, he had the Holy Spirit placed on him. And then immediately the enemy came and took him into the wilderness and tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. Now that was his setback, but we all know what his comeback was like, right? If you or someone you know is in a season of setback, or you are climbing out of a setback, this word is for you this morning. A setback is an unexpected change from better to worse, a disappointment, or a reversal. Question, have you recently experienced a setback in your family, or in your personal life, in your physical body, at work, in a relationship, loss of a loved one, in your finances, in your relationship with God, and it has begun to make you worry and wonder where God is and if you'll ever recover. This is where the body of Christ is at right now. They're wondering, am I ever going to recover? I'm amazed at the amount of Christians sit in the house of God and get upset with God because God won't let them sin. I really am amazed at that. And you know, when if you're really a child of God, you're supposed to be born again, and everything about you is supposed to be changed from the inside out. And you give up your old habits and your old sinful ways, and you become a holy child of God. That's what being born again is all about. And if people don't see that in you, they're not going to believe a word you say. Your setback is not God setting you aside. And it is not God setting you down. Your setback is God set up for your comeback. Now is the time for your comeback to begin. Your failure is not final. And your failure is not fatal. If you will let God, he will use your failure as fuel for your future. There's not a one of us sitting in here today that has not done something that they wish they would never have done. And because you gave it to God and kept on going, God took that thing away, took everything, condemnation, everything else away, and he told you, keep on moving. Don't stop now. He's been telling the body of Christ that for quite some time, and he's sad because the body of Christ still is not looking for their comeback. They're still complaining about their setback. They're still complaining about the circumstances they have to go through. And you know, God can't use you in this frame of mind. You have to get a new frame of mind. It's time for you to see your setback as God's opportunity and even as it's set up for your comeback. Isaiah 61, and that's not an easy thing to do, so, you know, it's hard, but this is where you have to get to. You have to get to that place. Isaiah 61:3 says, those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Let's read that again. Those who mourn in Zion, that's you and I, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Even though we go through difficult times, we are still strong towers that others can run into. And as you're going through difficult times, people are watching how you react. And if you act right, properly, the way God tells us to react, they're going to say, wow, there's something to this God thing anyhow. Amen. But if we're out there acting just like the world, then the world said, well, I already have that. I don't need that God that they claim that they serve. We have to be peculiar, different people. All right, what does God call you? God does not call you failure. He sees more in you than your best friend. All right, God sees more in you than your best friend does and your family does, even more than you do. Even in your setback, he calls you righteous. Come on. He's not finished with us. You know, it's not over. You know, he wants you to get back up again and keep moving. Your mess can become your message. Your test will become your testimony. How many of you are going right now through a test? And when it's all over with, you'll say, thank God. And you'll be rejoicing. And you'll say, well, thank you, God. That made me just a little bit stronger. That made me understand my walk with you just a little bit more than I did before it ever started. Right? A divine exchange is about to take place in your life. There is no condemnation, no condemnation, if you find yourself in a setback, in an unexpected change from better to worse, a disappointment, or a reversal. You know, you can go to bed fine at night, and in the morning, you know, everything breaks loose, right? And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. I got up the other morning. Little Isaiah decided I'm going to go back to being in a diaper, which he didn't, but that's what he decided. He told me so. You know, and little Gabriel, he was belligerent all day. You know, then something else happened. I'm thinking, what is wrong with this day? It wasn't anything I did. But so finally I took control over the devil and got that stuff all straightened out. It was just the devil coming in to give me a setback. Amen. And I think he was standing around waiting to see how long it would take me to get a comeback. It took me all day to find out. I just prayed. I said, devil, you are not going to do this. But it took me all day. How many of you, it takes you all day to realize, hey, this is the devil carrying on and I'm not going to accept it. All right. A comeback is a return. And this is your time to return. A comeback is a resurgence. Now is your time for a mighty resurgence in your life. A mighty comeback. Not just a little tiny comeback, but a mighty comeback. We need to understand that God gets the glory and receives a greater return when he invests in you and you come back. How many of you know that whenever everybody knows when you're failing? Everybody knows when you're stumbling in your walk. All we have to do is watch your face and watch your demeanor. You know, we know. And we say, well, we got to pray for that one because they're going under if we don't, right? Isn't that right? Don't you know when somebody's going under and they don't need you to say, well, I know what they're doing now. They need you to say, Father God, send an angel to minister to them right now so they have a comeback. We need to understand that God gets the glory and receives a greater return when he invests in you and you come back. We also need to understand that God is fully invested in your comeback. We also need to understand that God is fully invested in your comeback. A comeback is a return to success, not failure, but success. You will not only return to the success that you once knew, you will far exceed it. You know, God just doesn't want us to return to the same old. He wants us to return for the greater than. That's what he told me, his daughter. I don't want you to, what you had was good, but what you're going to get, walk into is so much greater than what you had before. Quit wanting what you had before, even though it was good. He has something greater for you. All right? King David experienced a terrible setback in his family. David's daughter Tamar is seduced and raped by one of David's sons, Amnon, who is then murdered by another son, Absalom, to take revenge. As a result, Absalom is banished from the kingdom. So David lost his son to murder, had a horrendous thing happen to his daughter, and then his beloved yet murderous Absalom is banished from the kingdom. Because as king, though he loved his son, he was charged to uphold the law. All this happened because of one small, well, one event. That is where the entire world was before God sent Jesus. We were banished from a loving yet just and holy God because we all have broken the law. After some time, the Bible says that King David longed to be returned with his son Absalom. I'm sorry, reunited with his son Absalom. Created in God's image, David had the same longing as the father heart of God to be reunited with his children. Out of his brokenness in David's heart was delivered one of the most insightful revelations of the heart of God that you will find in Scripture. Delivered to King David by a little widow woman from Gato. 2 Samuel 14:14. We will all die someday. We will be like water that is spilled on the ground. No one can gather this water back from the ground. You know God forgives people. God made plans for people who are forced to run away for safety. God does not force them to run away from him. This is what the young woman said to David. David was mourning over his son Absalom, who he had to send away. But we all know what Absalom did when he returned, didn't he? He turned against his father. This one verse reveals five eternal truths. Number one, all of us must die eventually. Hebrews 9:27 declares, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus never would have come and paid the price that he paid if there was some other way that he could have made heaven. There is a heaven and there is a hell. I don't care who's preaching otherwise. Get in your word and read your word. Number two, our lives are like water spilled out on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. You can never get your past back. Get that in your spirit. But God isn't interested in holding your past against you. He is interested in your great future. What we did. It's done. It's over with. We can't go back and undo it. I don't care what it is. So we have to what? Move forward. That was a setback, whatever you did back there that you're trying to go back and redo. You can't do that. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Some people just can't forget their past. And they, so therefore they can't focus on what lies ahead. Some of you need to know this morning that God has asked us to do a lot of things over the years, but now he's reversing some of that stuff he asked us to do, and he's asking us to do other things. So I want you to really be open to everything that the Lord is speaking to you and do what he's leading, guiding, and directing you to do. We have to quit listening to man's voice, and we have to listen to God's voice totally and completely 100%. And the reason why we're still messed up, we're still in our setback, is because we hear God saying one thing and then man is saying something different. And therefore, because we don't quite trust God's voice, we start listening to man's voice and we do the wrong things. I don't care what God asked you to do. If he's now reversing that, then you have to do what God is asking you to do. You might have been in a season of setback. And now God wants you to come to your season of comeback. And in order for you to do that, he has to reverse some of the things he asked you to do. Are you understanding this? So I'm going to read what Apostle Paul said again. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul focused on forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies. See, he looked forward to what lies ahead. We don't look forward to what lies ahead. Why? Because we don't see it. And we can't trust. We don't trust God that he's able to take us into a perfect future. And so we sit around and we complain and we moan and groan about what we believe that God's trying to take us into. If you will do that today, forget your past and move forward, you will be on the comeback trail. God has asked us to do some hard things in the past, really hard things. But God is saying, all right, now that is over with, and I want you to move on, because I'm sending you down a different road. I'm asking you to do different things. He is an all-changing, all-consuming God. And wouldn't it be very mundane if you did the same thing year after year after year after year? Well, I'm glad that God's not mundane. And I'm glad that God knows our stature. He knows who we are. He knows our strength. He knows our weaknesses. And I'm glad that God knows whether or not, if he gives us assignment, that before he gives it, we can carry it. But then I'm also glad that God knows when the assignment is over, and he lets you know it's over, and then he says, now move on. Some of us are stuck in that rut where we think we're still in that assignment, and we're not in that assignment anymore. We have to move on. Sometimes when you stay stuck in your rut of your assignment, you hold up other people. You bind them up because you're holding on to them when God's saying let go, and you're not giving them the freedom they need to move into what God's calling them to move into. Now 2 Samuel 14:14 goes on to say, but God does not just sweep life away. God does not give the divine backhand to anyone. You are valuable to God. Your value was demonstrated by the unspeakable price that God paid to redeem you. God doesn't just sweep you away because you have fallen in this area or you have fallen in that area. Are you hearing this? God invests more in us. Jesus left the 99. He gave more of his time to the one that then left the 99 that stayed. He left the 99 and he went after the one that was that thought that God was finished with them. The problem with the body of Christ is they do not know how valuable they are to Christ. They don't esteem themselves highly like Christ does. And they believe everything the devil says about them and to them, that they are no good, and go on and on and on. You need to stop listening to the lies of the enemy. And you need to know how valuable you are to God, and you need to move on. You know, and I'm hearing God say some of you are going to have to cut the cord to some people that you've known, you know, whether they're loved ones or friends or family, whatever they are. You're going to, if they're holding you back, God's going to cut the cord. Now, are you going to let God cut the cord? Is the question. Or you go, no, you can't do that, God, you can't do that. No, if they're holding you back, because God has been saying for a year now that everyone that's holding you back, he's going to take away from you. Is everybody hearing this morning? So if God's trying to remove somebody from your life, quit holding on to them. Let them go so that both of you are free to do what God wants you to do. Now, if you're wanting to get rid of somebody, don't say, God said, because people do that too. You make sure that it's God wanting to separate and divide. And he said he would be doing that. And he said, like some relationship that you thought was totally broken, he was going to put those relationships back together. Other relationships that everybody thought, boy, they're on there forever, he's going to separate. We have to let God be God in our lives. Sometimes I wonder, why do you go to church? Why do you read your word? Because you don't really trust God in your life. You don't really trust him in the things he's doing. You still want to be in control, and you're afraid to let yourself go and let him have you all the way. And God's saddened by that right now, because really he has your very best in mind. And because you won't give him your all, you're never going to have the very best. Because you think, if I let go of this, or if I do this, or if I do that, then I'm sunk. No, you're not. You're sunk if you hold on. God told me years ago, I want you to have the very best, but you settle for second best. So what are you going to settle for? So anyhow, I said, God, I want the very best. I'm not settling for second best of anything anymore. And that has to be your determination too. God, you put me in this earth to receive the very best. And that's what I'm going to receive. I don't care if you're in a bad assignment. There's always good in every assignment. So whatever's in this assignment that's good, that's what I'm going to receive. I'm not going to look at the negative things in this assignment, right? I'm going to receive the good that you have for me. All right, 2 Samuel 14:14 tells us, God does not just sweep life away. Instead, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. So if some of you are going through some odd times in your life, it's God saying, come on now, you've been separated from me long enough. Now I'm making a way for you to come back. You've been in that setback long enough. Come on now, come on back. God's renewing your minds as you renewing your steadfast love in him. And God's trying to bring you up into the higher place where he dwells. Where he dwells. Will you go with him this morning? Will you go into that higher place with him? Will you quit just staying in this mundane drudgery that you're in, and you're never happy? You're never happy. All right, God does not devise judgment. God does not devise revenge. God devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. If you have a relationship you care deeply about that turns on you, if you have a relationship you care deeply about, it turns on you, disrespects you, betrays you, doesn't want to be near you, would you be devising ways to bring them back? Most likely not. But the overwhelming message of Scripture is that we serve a God who, even when we disrespect and dishonor him, he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. You see that? Come on. He devised a way for Jonah. Like Jonah, God told you to do one thing, but you did something else. God said, no, he didn't. You didn't want to do what God said, so you did what you want to do and put God in the mix, and God wasn't in the mix. I have told you over and over again, be very, very careful when you say, God said. Do not say God said unless God said. Because you know what? When people find out God didn't say that, they'll never trust another word you say. Come on. And I don't even say, well, this is what I think, because what you think means absolutely nothing. What you should say, well, I'm not hearing from God right now, so I don't have an answer for you. I'll get back with you when I hear from God. Then everything will be fine. All right? Don't let other people intimidate you either. Just don't let them intimidate you either, because they will try. That's the devil in them, the accuser of the brethren, and they're trying to intimidate you so you won't do the thing that God really wants you to do. Come on. You need to understand God did not have a plan B for Jonah. He doesn't have a plan B for you either. There was not someone else God had lined up to do what he called Jonah to do. And many times has God said, there's going to be souls that's going to not be saved because you are not doing what I told you to do, because they were assigned to you. And that is the truth. There is no one else that can do what God has called you to do. Just like there was nobody else could do what God called Jonah to do. There was no one else that could do what Judas was called to do. There was no one else that God called for what Pharaoh did to his children. You see this? People, that was their assignment. And God told me last night that there's some people, their only assignment on earth is to get yourself to heaven. That's their assignment. He said, because it's going to be really hard for them to get themselves to heaven. But that's their assignment. I thought that was awesome. If God had someone else to fulfill Jonah's destiny, he never would have gone to the incredible extremes that he did, devising a way to bring Jonah back. First, the storm that Jonah and all those with him encountered on the ship that was taking him away from the place God called him. Second, Jonah getting the short straw and being selected to be thrown off the boat. Third, getting swallowed by a fish. And fourth, as fish spit him onto the shore. That's what God did so Jonah could fulfill the calling that God had on his life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend any time in a whale's belly. You know, I don't want to be spit up on the shore somewhere. God devised a way to bring Jonah back. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Jonah was willing to do what God called him to do one day after he came back. God has chosen to be committed to you and to his plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. See, y'all don't believe that. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. But we're so narrow-minded and pig-headed, we're going to do our thing our way no matter what God says. Then we get ourselves in a big mess, and then we say, well, God, where were you? He was where he was always at, right beside you, watching you make a fool of yourself. Right? Maybe you have experienced a setback in a relationship you once had with the Lord. Your relationship right now is not as strong. It is not as on fire as it used to be. God wants you to know that there are three words that can immediately get you back on track. It is the three words that the prodigal son said, and they are simple words. It's the same words that the thief on the cross said. It is the difference between two people. It is the difference between Saul and David. It is the difference between the thief on the right and the thief on the left. They are simply words, but for some people, they are the hardest words to say. And those three words is, I have sinned. You have an opportunity to pause right now, because your comeback can immediately begin with those three words. You can be restored, and the blessing of God can be released upon your life now. I want to encourage you, God does not sweep life away, but instead he devises ways to bring us back when we have been separated from him. And you know, I'm saddened in my spirit, because, and I believe that's God, because so many people should be already out there in their ministry doing what God has called them to do, and they're still in betwixt and between trying to decide what they want to do. It's not what you want to do, it's what God wants you to do. And are you going to do your thing, or are you going to do God's thing? You know, who was it? They were going to follow Jesus. They said, well, let me go back and say goodbye to my parents. And God said, a prophet, wasn't it? Let the dead bury the dead. You know, he was just taking them away from their family. If you want to follow me, you're going to have to be separated from your family, period. We have a hard time with that, don't we? Sometimes, you know, whenever you hang on to somebody or something, and, you know, after they're gone, you think, wow, why did I hold on so long? You know, my kids, they, you know, when I'm 18 years old, I'm moving out. I said, well, that's when you're 18, you can do that. Well, when they was 18, they did that. They moved out for 2 years. I was the happiest person in the world. I really was. I held on to my kids like crazy. But they started moving out, and when I found out what peace I had, you know, and I could come and go and do as I please, and my house stayed clean, you know, and I didn't have to worry about nobody, I was so happy. And then they started coming back. Now they're all back. They have husbands with them, kids with them, you know, and now I have a household full. I just said the other day, I didn't know how lucky I was when y'all decided to leave. But y'all had a comeback. They had a setback when they left. They all had a comeback when they came back. You see what I'm saying here? Come on. You know. All right. It is the three words that, where am I at now? I lost my, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together. Now this is the word. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I look back there at Brett and Nancy there, and their one daughter is getting ready to get married, and they're all holding on to her real tight. But once she leaves, they're going to say, well, how about that? Look at the difference in the house. One more attitude going. You see what I'm saying? You know, she's a sweet girl. She really, I'm just sort of chiding here a little bit. But they have these eight kids, you know, and they think this one of them having all these eight kids. Wait till they start leaving. They say, wow, look what I've been missing, all this peace and quiet. None of this fussing and going on, you know. Come on. All right, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those. Now see what it says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose for them. It's for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The dictionary defines devise to mean mastermind, blueprint, and design. So he devises a plan. It's a mastermind, blueprint, and design. God is masterminding, blueprinting, and designing your comeback. And I hope after today you guys come back. What I mean to God, I hope you do what God's calling you for to do. And I hope you quit just lingering out there on the edge of the ring of victory, you know, and just give up your dumb junk and just come back to God and serve God with all of your heart. You know, you're really happy when you're serving God with all your heart. You really are. I didn't say life stops and you're just good. You're just happy, 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 happy. But you are happy. In the midst of your trials and tribulations, you are happy. Right, Elaine? Say amen. Say amen. Blow your shofar. Do something. Get excited. Come alive. Amen. Come on. If we become overwhelmed with our setbacks, and if we become consumed with them, and many times we do, sometimes they begin to define us. They begin to define how we see God. This is Satan's ultimate plan, using our setback to define us and accuse our God. You see this? In Judges chapter 6, there was a man named Gideon. The Bible tells us he was in fear. In Judges 6:11. One time the angel of the Lord came to a place called Ophrah and sat under an oak tree. This oak tree belonged to a man named Joash from the Abzer family. His son Gideon was beating some wheat in a wine press. He was hiding so that the Midianites could not see the wheat. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord be with you, brave soldier." Now, I think that's neat. The angel came and sat down underneath the tree and just sat there and watched him. Now, how many of you know maybe there's an angel sitting in your bedroom, just sitting there watching you, or in your kitchen, or out on the street, wherever you're at. He's just watching you to see what you're doing. Here was little old Gideon. He was beating up some wheat in a wine press, hiding. He was threshing wheat at the bottom of the wine press. The wine press was where the grapes were trodden, not where the wheat was threshed. Gideon was in fear and as a result was out of place. Maybe you have allowed your setback and your fear to cause you to be out of place. Are you listening here? Maybe you have allowed your setback and your fear to cause you to be out of place. There were two voices over Gideon's life. There are two voices over every person's life. There is a voice of the accuser and there is a voice of the intercessor, which is Jesus. Remember, Jesus is praying for you and the devil is a liar. Always remember that. The accuser will tell you, you can't. The intercessor, who is Jesus, will tell you, I will. Come on, you guys. Some of you need to get the joy of the Lord back inside of you. And you need to get out of your own mind, and you need to allow God to have control, and you need to start being your own person. You're allowing other people to control and manipulate you, and you need to be your own person, and you need to allow God to lead God and direct you, and you become and you do the things God's telling you to do, not a person telling you to do. Come on. Come on, church. What do you want God to do? I know, bring the glory, then I won't have to fight anymore, and he'll just knock me on my face, and when I get up, I'll be totally, completely changed, and it's the truth. But God is trying to change something in you before he does that. Will you please get it done? Mom, will you please get it done? I would like to see the glory cloud hit. I just don't want it to hover. I want it to hit, and I want people's lives to be changed. You need to understand that during your setback, God is not punishing you. He might be correcting you, but he punished Jesus 2,000 years ago, and he who knew no sin became sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the word tells me that God chastens those that he loves. It doesn't say he punishes them, he chastens them. And, you know, when he chastens me, he'll say, daughter, get it together. Now you know you're not doing right, get it together. And that's his chastening. Because I say, okay, Father, I'll do that. I don't want you to do nothing else to me. I will get it together. Amen. I know his voice, and I know when he's upset with me. I've already known I've done something wrong before he ever tells me, though. And so do you. You know when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, and you're just trying to kid yourself that you're okay. So don't listen to the lie. Well, this is just God getting back at me. This is just God showing me who is boss. Come on. The real thing God is doing is devising a way to bring you back because he loved you so much. If he does all that, why didn't he do something to the prodigal son? The prodigal son messed his own self up. He didn't need God's help. And you know, that God just said that to me, so I'll tell it to you. And so therefore, if that's the case, then God doesn't need to punish us and mess us up. We mess our own selves up enough. We don't need God's help. How many of you just stand by and watch your kids make a fool of themselves? You go, if they can only see what they're doing. That's what God does to us. He's our Father, right? The devil loves to use our failures to lie to us and to condemn us. Doesn't he? But if we will stop looking at the bigness of our need and begin looking at the bigness of our God, we will find that starting right now, he will take us step by step, and each step will be a miracle. Are you going to do that? But if we will stop looking at the bigness of our need and begin looking at the bigness of our God, we will find that starting right now, he will take us step by step, and each step will be a miracle. Now, we went over to the Amish yesterday to buy some little cabbage plants and stuff to put in the garden. And I used money that really I needed to use something else. And my daughter said, Mom, didn't you need this money for something else? I said, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, when Larry died, he left me with nothing. The paperwork wasn't in place. And I said, I'm not going to live like I'm in poverty. I'm not in poverty. God said, I have more than enough. So, and we need the plants to eat from. So I just use the money, and I know God's going to supply. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm not going to walk around like I'm poor and defeated and I don't have anything, but I don't have to walk like that, because if I walk like that, then what's the devil going to do? He's going to increase that. Now, I'm not saying being foolish, but I know what God has spoken to me, and I trust God. And I have more than enough. Now, do I believe that or don't I believe that? All right? I want you guys to quit allowing the devil to take you down that path that's going to destroy you. I just want you to quit. Where am I at? Let's take another look at Judges 6:11. One time, the angel of the Lord came to a place called Ophrah and sat under an oak tree. This oak tree belonged to a man named Joash from the Abzar family. His son Gideon was beating some wheat in a wine press. He was hiding so that the Midianites could not see the wheat. Now, Gideon was threshing wheat at the bottom of the wine press. Question, do you feel like you're at the bottom? Gideon was at the bottom, yet the angel wasn't so high and holy and mighty that he didn't come and meet Gideon right at his very bottom point. I'm believing that for myself. I'm believing that God's already met my needs. I'm believing that that does, you know, just because, you know, the devil took Larry out before his time, that doesn't take me out with him. Are you listening? I still have a works to do, and I still have to go on living. But a lot of people, you know, they get devastated and they stop, and they never go any further. Why do you do that? All right, if your husband or wife leaves you, you stop living. They're out there living, and you stop living and whine and cry and carry on like a fool, right? If somebody, like when my mother died, after a year, God said, are you going to die with your mother? Or are you going to go on living? I mean, it was hard. I mean, when she died, it was hard. But God finally got my attention when he said it, and he wasn't nice about it either. He's like I am. He uses a voice that says, you better listen. Amen. So we can't do that. We can't do that anymore, saints. We can't. We can't die because somebody else is dying or has died. We have to keep on living. We have a works to do for the Father. I have decided a long time ago I'm not having no more setbacks. I'm going to have all. And I really believe that comeback song is why God had us play that, what, for about a year now. He was trying, and, you know, I'm slow. He was trying to get something across to the body of Christ. He wanted us to have a comeback. He wanted us to get up off of our chairs, and he wanted us to do something for God. He wanted us to start trusting God. All right, so we didn't do it then, so let's do it today. If you notice the front of your bulletin has something about a setback and a comeback, I played that song. I'm giving you a sermon. That's all I can do. You have to do the rest for yourself. Now, you can either set your setback or you can come back. You can get out of your mess that you're in. I'm not staying in no mess. I'm just not. You can as long as you want to. Judges 6:11 tells us that Gideon was trying to hide the grain from the Midianites because they would come and steal it. Are you like Gideon? Do you ever feel like your harvest keeps getting stolen? That's how I felt yesterday. The truth is, your setback is God's setup for your comeback. I'm believing because they made me give that money back, God's going to multiply it. Amen. That's what I'm believing. You can call me crazy if you want, and when he does, I'll let you know. Judges 6:2 says the angel of the Lord that had been watching Gideon revealed himself and appeared to Gideon and said these words, "Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." Gideon was in fear and hiding. What a word for Gideon. I can hear him saying to himself, "So I am at the bottom. I'm shaking with fear. I'm getting ripped off." Isn't that what we think? "I am going further and further behind. And you are saying to me, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with me." Isn't that what God does to you? And when you're in a mess, he'll say, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that what he says to you? Are you going to believe him? How could this angel say such a thing? Because God was not depending upon Gideon. God was depending on one thing. God was depending on what he could make of Gideon. See, he's not depending on you guys. I'm sorry, I bust your bubble and get your pride out of you. He knows what he can make of you if you allow him to, if you come into your comeback. This morning you need to understand that God is not depending upon what you are or what you are not. God is not depending on your failures or your righteousness. God is depending on one thing. God is depending on what he can make of you. I hope you're all getting this down in your spirit. This is very important. Look at Gideon's response in Judges 6:13. Then Gideon said, "Pardon me, sir, but if the Lord is with us, why are we having so many troubles?" Isn't that what y'all say? We heard that he did wonderful things for our ancestors. They tell us that the Lord took them out of Egypt, but now it seems the Lord has left us and is letting the Midianites defeat us. Isn't that what the body of Christ says? Yes, it is. So I'll answer for you. In a time of setback, who has not questioned God? I've said, "God, are you really sure? How many of you have said that? "God, are you really sure?" So, in a time of setback, who has not questioned God? Have you? I love what happens next. All of a sudden, there is a game changer in the very next verse. No longer is it an angel speaking to God, because Judges 6:14 says, "Then the Lord turned to him." The Hebrew literally means the Lord faced him. Makes us think of John 1:42 when Jesus faced Simon Peter for the first time. John 1:42 says, "Then Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas.'" Cephas means Peter, which means rock. He wasn't depending upon what Peter possessed. He was depending on what he could make of him. How can Jesus call unreliable Peter a rock, or fearful Gideon a mighty man, or conniving Jacob a prince with God, or childless Abraham a father of many nations? Let's read that again. How can Jesus call unreliable Peter a rock, or fearful Gideon a mighty man, or conniving Jacob a prince with God, or childless Abraham, a father of many nations. Because Romans 4:7 declares that we serve an amazing God who calls those things which are not as though they were. Come on. Church, it's time we get a hold. This scripture's been around as long as I have. It's time we get a hold of it and stand on it. The greatest faith in all the world is not the faith that raises the dead. It is not the faith that believes in God's grace and miracles. The greatest faith in all the world is the faith that God has in you. He has more faith in you than you have in yourself. Now full of compassion, the Lord is facing Gideon. The Lord heard Gideon's words of unbelief, fear, and doubt. He hears ours too, because how many times they get out of fear and doubt and unbelief, right? He didn't react. God didn't react. He just said in Judges 6:14, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Your greatest days are ahead of you. If you will just begin to move in the right direction, you don't need more strength. It will come as you begin to move in the right direction with the strength that you have. You don't need to have the strength of this man of God or this woman of God. Like when God called me to preach, I said, God, I don't even know how to start a church. He said, you do it just like a business, and my Holy Spirit would be with you. My Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. And I had to have the Holy Spirit because nobody around here would help me. All right, so the Holy Spirit taught me all that I know. So remember that. You don't need somebody else. You just need God. The Lord told Gideon, go with the strength you have. And God said to me, just anything you place your hands to do, I will do it for you. So what he was saying to me too, go with the strength that you have. Go with the faith that you have. And whatever you have faith to believe that I can do, I'll do it. All right? Then, of course, Gideon begins to give more excuses why he couldn't. Judges 6:16. How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest and I am the least. Come on. Anybody ever said, how can I, or felt like they were the least? Did you know that God specializes in using the least? When Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel and he went to the house of Jesse, Jesse brought out 7 sons and Samuel took the oil and tried to pour it out and it wouldn't come out of the bottle. Samuel said to Jesse, do you have another son? Because God sent him there, you know. I thought it was something that I read that where the oil wouldn't come out of the bottle. Oh, yes. You know, he said, do you have another son? Oh, yes. But that is David. Just old David. He is out tending the sheep. He is the youngest. Samuel said, bring him in. And in comes lowly David. And lo and behold, Samuel turned that vow over and the oil poured out. And God chose David. You need to know that there is oil that is reserved just for you. Come on. When I was reading this, I was thinking about when the lady poured the oil on my head. Look at how the Lord responds as Gideon tries to disqualify himself for who God has called him to be and what God has called him to do. Let's read that again because a lot of you in here are guilty of this. Look at how the Lord responds as Gideon tries to disqualify himself for who God has called him to be and what God has called him to do. Daughter, when you start church, I don't know how, I'll teach you. See what I'm saying? Jesus says this to Gideon, and he is saying this to you. It's the greatest secret to your better than ever victorious comeback. In Judges 6:16, surely I will be with you. If God's called you to do it, surely he will be with you. If he didn't call you to do it, he won't be with you. And when all the mistakes you make are yours. And so don't blame God. This morning, God wants you to know that he has not forsaken you or left you. Surely he is with you. God wants to restore you and release a fresh anointing and blessing into your life. Your setback is nothing more than God's set up for your great comeback story. And your comeback begins right now this morning if you can trust and believe God. God's always right on time with every message that we receive. God is not slack in anything that he does in each one of our lives. Each one of you are here this morning, not by mistake, but you needed to hear God's word for you today. Some of you, you might be in it right now, but if not, you've been in a setback, but now God is trying to get you to come back, and you're kicking against the goads, so to say, because you don't understand what God is doing in your life. Just let God do it. Just said, God, I said, God, I don't understand the thing you're doing, but I'm just going to go along with you. Because you know me, you've made me, you know, and you knew me, knew what you was going to have me do from before I was ever born. And so I'm yours. Just use me. Just use me. So why can't some of you just give up this morning? I surrender. That's why I played that song, I Surrender. Now I saw some of you crying and some of you on your knees and I couldn't see behind. I don't have my eyes in the back of my head. But, you know, did you really surrender? Did you really surrender? I mean, when we play the song, we can cry and pout and snot and carry on. But did you really surrender? I'll keep watching you and I'll let you know. Because I've watched you sing that song before and watched you snot around and you haven't surrendered. The minute something doesn't go your way, there comes that temper, there comes that old nature. You haven't surrendered yet. Come on. I'm not busting your bubble. I'm saying you have to have a comeback. Get out of that setback and have a comeback this morning and be all that God has called you for it to be. Don't you guys understand that when God hit this glory hits, it's already hit in some places, that you're going to be so busy. You know, if you have yielded yourself to God and if you're walking holy and righteous, God is going to send these lost and dying people to you and you're going to be so busy you won't know what to do with yourself. Are you really prepared for this? God's told me the church is not prepared for what he's getting ready to send our way. That's a shame. Come on, are you really a strong tower that others can run into? Or do you fall every time the wind blows the wrong way? You have to ask yourself. You know, don't lie to yourself either. You know, don't be self-deceived. Are you really a strong tower that others can run into? Are you really steadfast in your walk with God? Do you really love God with all your heart? Do you really give him your life no matter what he calls you to do? And sometimes you go, oh my God, you want me to do what? All right, God, your will, your way. I mean, I do that. Sometimes what he asks me to do blows my mind. But, you know, I'm God's vessel. Are you God's vessel? Then if you're his vessel, then he can use you any way he wants to, right? Quit your lying. You only want him to use you the way you want to be used. But if he tries to use you in a strange way, you say, no, I don't think so, God. So you haven't sold out to him. Let's sell out this morning. Let's sell out 100% to God. You know, we hear so many people say we love to come here because the anointing is so strong and the word's good and it's really what I want to hear. But then we watch them, they don't change. You don't let the anointing change you. Let the anointing destroy every yoke. Every yoke. Come on. God said there's a turnaround time and it's now. Let God turn you around and you come into your comeback and then let God just do whatever he wants to do to you. And, you know, he's saying that some of you are going to be, you're going to be so surprised at what he's going to do through you. He said before you've been wise in your own self, but as you give him yourself totally and completely, you'll no longer be wise in your own self, but God will have total, complete control in your life. And you'll say, whatever you want, Father, just do it. Sometimes I say, but do this quickly. Amen, because it's going to be a hard one. Do it quickly. Don't make me stay in this thing too long. See, be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with other people. Be transparent. Wasn't Jesus transparent? Then be transparent. And you know, if you're transparent, you don't have a closet. No skeletons and no closet. And the enemy can't pull anything out and accuse you of it. You know, when you're out there, boy, in your glory with God, and here comes the devil bringing somebody into your life. You know what you did? Now, you already have that out there. And don't have a closet. Be honest. Be open. Be transparent like Jesus was. And go forth after this morning. Go forth in total and complete victory and allow God to use you in any way that he possibly can. Father, I just thank you and I praise you this morning for your word. I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke. Tell my people that my glory is upon them. My glory is chasing after them. And I want to settle my glory totally and completely from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I want them to become transparent. I want them to become all that my son was and still is. I want them to be just like my son, Jesus. I don't want them to hold any part of themselves back from me. I want all of them to crown their head to the soles of their feet. I don't want you to manipulate and control yourself or anybody else. I want you to allow me to lead, guide, and direct you. You leave others up to me. I will lead and guide and direct them the way I want them to go. You don't know what I have planned for their lives. You walk out your own life and let each other walk out their lives, their destinies. I have a crown of righteousness waiting for each one of you. As you yield yourself to me totally and completely, 100%, I, the Lord thy God, I will do a quick and a mighty works within your lives. My anointing that destroys every yoke will be so strong that even as you're in a car and you drive down the road, other people that pass your car will be set free in an instant, in a wink of an eye. That's how strong I want my anointing to rest upon you. When my son walked into a room or walked down the dirty streets, the devils fled from him. They would not stay in a person. This is where I want you to take you to this morning. I want the anointing to be so rich that the enemy will flee when you come upon the scene. Take my hand in a secure way and know that I am God. And allow me to be in total, complete control of all things. You can't be in control of anything. I have to be in control of all things. Ask me for wisdom, and I will give you wisdom. Ask me for surety of heart, and I will give you surety of heart. My children, trust me with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. For I am God of the universe. And if you allow me to, I want to be God of your life. I am that I am. And I will forever abide within you, I promise. If you receive me in all my fullness this day, the altar is open for that anointing that God just spoke about. I'm hearing God say there's a depth of him that you have not yet tapped into. And this morning, as you come and you yield yourself totally to him, you're going to tap into that depth. And you're going to understand God in all of his fullness. And you won't walk around like everything's just not worth anything. But you'll walk around like heaven is your home and heaven abides within you.